The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Nick Diamond and Terry Cushman, and this episode is going to be all about the first base position, specifically Tristan Casas. How do we feel about him so far? How do we feel about him long term? And do we want anyone to potentially replace him at first base? And we've come up with a couple of names that you might be interested in. So, again, this would be pretty much focused on the first base position. Obviously, Casas has been off to a slow start. He's a very polarizing character on this Red Sox team. I feel like you either love him or you can't stand him. I don't think there's many people that are in the middle on this guy. So that's what makes him kind of an interesting topic right now, especially with the way he's playing and the way the team is going and where they hope to go at the end of the year. So guys, I'll throw the floor to you. I'll start with you, Nick. Like, Casas, former first-round pick, we know that he's always had a lot of potential. He's shown some flashes, but right now it's not going his way. And, how much longer do you want to wait before you let the Red Sox be proactive and actually do something here? So what are your thoughts on Casas and how the whole first base situation is panning out?
Well, I think the Red Sox have a lot of offensive options in the minor leagues or elsewhere, but they don't have a lot of first base options or any first baseman options at all. So I think you got to figure out a way to get some of these greater offensive talents into the everyday lineup in the major leagues by weeding out some of the other guys. So there's no one that can catch. So Tristan Casas is the next best guy to replace in that lineup. So I think we're going to talk about a bunch of things today about why we think he needs to get out of there, but I don't think there's much leash left when Roman Anthony's sitting in the minor leagues doing everything he possibly can to be called up. Marcelo Meyer's not too far behind, so there's a lot of guys who have passed him on the depth chart, at least in offensive category, not on first base obviously, but yeah, I think he's the most likely guy to get replaced going forward.
And Terry, how are you feeling about Casas and everything he's been doing so far?
I've never been more negative on Tristan Casas than I currently am. He's not giving you anything at all at the big league level. He's got 11 hits on the year in 64 at-bats, so he's hitting 172. He's not hitting good from a situational standpoint. So many times there's been a runner in scoring position. All he has to do is slap the ball out of the outfield. Just drive him in. Just not hard contact. You used to see Xander Bogaerts do that all the time in a slump. He'd just slap it the other way through the gap, drive in the runner. He's not doing that. He's trying to launch the ball, and he had some, as Nick pointed out in a couple episodes ago, he has hit for harder contact, but I don't want an all or nothing guy in the middle of our order. I just don't see the value in that. I want to see doubles up the gap. He can't leg out a ton of doubles. I don't know how many times I've seen him get thrown out at first and think, man, it's too bad that wasn't Rafaela in that spot. He would have been safe. Or Christian Campbell. I'm just so negative right now on Casas, and he's unlikable. There's no upside at all. And you look at guys like, so many names are haunting me right now. Joey Gallo, like, oh my goodness. Rowdy Tellez, could give you more than Tristan Casas gives you. Like, where the comps are getting scary. I mentioned, I think, an episode or two ago, there's a meme going around where it's the girl from The Office, and in the top half, it's Bobby Dalbec and Tristan Casas, and then below, she goes, it's the same picture, and this is getting bad, and nobody wants him. The Mariners didn't want him. We tried to give him away for free, essentially, if they just took Yoshida. They said no, and I think they laughed really hard at that. The Red Sox, depending on whose reports you were looking at, were aggressively shopping him. Nobody was calling the Red Sox for Tristan Casas, so I don't know what you do with him, and I don't know how long you let him be an automatic out, whether he's going to strike out looking or just fly out short of the warning track. I don't know what to do, but there's definitely some decent internal options and some other creative ones that we can explore, which we will throughout this episode. I'm done with Casas. And if he was a righty, I'd be a little bit more patient, but you desperately need another righty bat in there. You got Trevor Story exceeding expectations right now. You got Alex Bregman having a career best game, and you got Christian Campbell. You need one more formidable righty in there somehow, if you can. You've got some more elite lefties in there, which we may get to as well. More elite than Casas, at least. But man, I can't wait till Tristan Casas isn't a part of the Red Sox future. But right now, you can't really trade him. You can option him, and we'll see. But I don't want to lose more games at the expense of Casas.
I mean, I know that first base isn't really a position where you're going to see a lot of five-tool players, but how many tools does Tristan Casas have? Is it just one? Is it just the power? I mean, for, you know, a guy who's supposed to command the strike zone, he's striking out a ton this year. And he runs like he has legs made of concrete. His defense is average to below average, mostly below average at most times.
It's so bad. This year it's been horrible.
Yeah. I look at him, I go, I know he's a former first round pick, and you know, again, like, his hit tool should be his biggest selling point, but when you're looking at strikes in the middle of the zone for strike three, and you're not commanding the strike zone the way that everyone says he can, then what good are you? You can't run, you can't field. So you've got to go up there, and I hate to say it, but almost go 41-20 the way that he joked that he would. Because otherwise, like, what are you doing? Like, you're not that good of a baseball player at that point. So, you know, the Bobby Dalbec comparison is one thing. It's, you know, I don't know if he's reached that level yet, but it's kind of scary that, you know, a guy who's only really showed us one half of one season, and that's it. Otherwise, he's either been hurt or he struggled. So it's not looking good.
So real quick, this is why the Bobby Dalbec comparison is just so ominous. You have all the Tristan Casas huggers on social media. For us, we see it more on Twitter because that's our primary app. But they cling to the second half of 2023 when he had the third best OPS in Major League Baseball in the second half of that season. Go back to 2021, Bobby Dalbec. After the All-Star break, hit 15 home runs, drove in 42, had a 269 average, 344 on base. Is all this sounding familiar to 2023? And even more mind-bogglingly, if that's a word, Dalbec had a 611 slugging percentage in a 955 OPS. So compare that second half of 2021 to Tristan Casas' second half in 2023. Extremely ominous.
I want to go back to when Casas even made those comments about Christian Campbell, about having him not want to be on the opening day. He didn't say, I don't want him on the opening day roster, but he basically said, Bregman should play second base. Christian Campbell needs to go back down to AAA and work on some things. I think I put out a tweet at the time that said, there's a better chance Christian Campbell is on the opening day roster than Tristan Casas is. And there's a very good chance that Christian Campbell is going to make it to May and Tristan Casas doesn't, if he doesn't pick up the slack. I mean, he's starting to show a little bit of signs, but if those don't fall for hits soon, you're going to have to make a change. Vaughn Grissom's batting 340 in the minor leagues. Anybody gives a better, you know, even Romy gives a better at bat at the moment. So eventually you're going to have to look for a change. And like Terry said, it's starting to become like Bobby Dalbec. And at least Bobby Dalbec could be moved around a little bit. You can't put Tristan Casas anywhere else. It's first base or DH. Bobby Dalbec at least like looked like an athlete. He would strike out at anything over 91 miles per hour, but he was an athletic person. You know, I mean, I'm not saying Tristan Casas is a horrible athlete because he's a professional player, but like compared to other major league players, he's not a great athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole point of this, is that this team strives to be a playoff team this year. This team strives to be a division winner this year, win 90 plus games and potentially win your division. So, you know, you can be patient for a little bit, but eventually, if you know, yeah, okay, he hit a ball, you know, 97 mile per hour exit velocity, but it was still another flyout. So eventually it's not about the exit velocity. You know, this is the whole thing with, you know, the analytics, like, well, the expected batting average on that was this. Okay, well, it was a line out. So I don't care what the expected batting average is. I care about he went 0 for 4 again with two more strikeouts. And this is a team that's starving for offense at the moment and is trying to win games. So that's the whole point of this, is that you can give me all the expected stuff and his exit velocities on his line drives. If they're still outs, kind of doesn't matter. You know, baseball's a game of outcomes. It's not about expected. So that's why, you know, we have to have the Tristan Casas conversation, because up to this point, it just hasn't been good enough. And pretty soon, I'm pretty sure the manager is going to run out of patience. I know the fans already have, except for, you know, Tyler Milliken, but the fans are running out of patience. Cora, you know, is going to run out, because I think Cora can't stand the kid. So that's why we got to think about some other options. And we have done just that. So we've come up with a few names, basically just from more likely to less likely in terms of, you know, where the current position is, current contract situation is, whatever. But we got some names on the list. So we're going to start from the very top, a guy who I think would be the most obvious choice, and that is your current designated hitter, Rafael Devers. So, Nick, how do you feel about Devers taking over for Tristan Casas at first base?
I think it would be a fine idea. I don't think it has to be an everyday thing. I think it's a way to get Rafael Devers back in the game. It's a way to get Tristan Casas not every day at bats. It's a way to get guys like maybe Roman Anthony or Masataka Yoshida back in this lineup to ignite some offense. So maybe you're putting in a very good bat into the offense, but maybe it's not at first base. You're maybe just moving Devers over to first base. I know there will be a learning curve over there. He hasn't picked up a glove all season, so it's not something you can expect right away, but I think he's good enough to do it, and I think it might even help him offensively to get him head back in the game, learning something defensively, take his mind off of hitting for a little bit. He's won for his last 21, I think, so, or at least at the moment. I don't know when this show will be out. He might get a hit or two. Actually, no, we're off Thursday, so this will be out then. But, yeah, I think that's the most logical choice. I know it would take a long time. I probably should have given him a first base glove in spring training and say this could be a possibility. But right now, I think that's the best way to help the team offensively and get some offense in the lineup, is to move Devers to first base for at least part of the time. I don't know if it would be a full-time thing right away. It could be, he could be a liability over there defensively as well, but I think it's just the most logical thing with the players you have.
Terry, what do you think?
Huge proponent of it. I've been a huge proponent of it since the day Alex Bregman signed his deal. I think Devers can scoop the ball a lot better than Casas can. I think he can make the infield better with, you know, with that type of defense over at first. right now, I mean, the infield has to be close to perfect when throwing to Casas. And I know Trevor Story, you know, one hops him a lot, but let's face it, not a lot of velocity there. So Casas is able to scoop him for the most part. But the day Chris Cotillo or Alex Speer or Sean McAdam tweet out Devers is taking ground balls at first base, I'm going to get excited because I think that'll improve the vibe. I don't think Devers wants to sit in the dugout the whole night. You know, as far as we can tell, he's taking it well. He's settled into it. He is on a hell of a slump right now, which is kind of painful. And it's hard to win games with Devers not giving you anything. But the way I can make a case for this, you don't have anybody else in the system that projects as a stud first baseman. You don't have another Tristan Casas who is more athletic and a little bit better defensively and perhaps hits from the right side of the plate. That does not exist in the Red Sox system. Now, you can criticize Heim for drafting way too many lefties, for there being a bit of an imbalance. I'm not going to criticize the Red Sox for not having a first baseman. I mean, it's literally the easiest need to fill, and you can get creative in doing so. We are all, as I said all winter long, Hanley Ramirez survivors. He was fine at first. Had a hell of a 2016. I don't remember 2017 too well. And then, of course, 2018, he gets DFA'd, but for at least a solid year or two, Hanley was fine. So I think Devers can do it. And I think when he settles in, I think he could be the first baseman of the long-term future. We saw Vladimir Jr. do that, I think, starting in what, his first or second year, went from third base to first, and he's fine. He even won a gold glove. Vladdy did. So I would do it. And that opens up your DH for a ton of different possibilities.
Yeah, he's the most sensible choice to me. And the fact that they haven't even let him take any grounders at third base or first base since moving him to DH is insane to me, because injuries happen. You know, especially with Tristan Casas, he has shown you that he can't stay healthy over the course of a full season, not yet at least. So there's always a chance that he takes a monster cut and rips another rib or something like that. And if you're the Red Sox, like, do you really want Romy Gonzalez playing full-time at first base if that happens? No. It'd be much easier to slide Devers over to first base. He gets to be in the field again, which I think would be good for him. And, you know, maybe Yoshida comes out of, you know, witness protection and he's your DH if that happens, right? So Devers is the most logical choice. And I think defensively, he could do it. He played a serviceable third base his whole career. Like, he maybe had some seasons where, you know, it was rough error-wise, but people act like this guy, you know, was Chuck Knoblauch trying to throw the ball. Like, he wasn't that bad at third base. And he's good moving laterally. I think he's got the baseball sense to be able to do it. So I think he'd be able to transition to first base pretty easily. I don't think it would be that rough. It wouldn't be, as you mentioned, like Hanley Ramirez all over again. And there's countless examples in baseball of third basemen later in their career going to first, or even early in their career in Vlad Jr.'s case, right? So it happens all the time. It's a pretty natural transition. I feel like a lot of big leaguers who are third basemen played first base, you know, throughout their amateur career too. It's just you play one of the corners. So I think it'd be the best case scenario. You know, if you know, you did have to finally sit down Casas, or you finally had to replace him, that'd be Rafi Devers. Again, I don't know if he's really settled into the DH role, because, you know, he started off the season terribly, got back on track a little bit, was starting to hit the ball well, and now he's won for his last 21 or whatever. And, you know, again, it's tough when all you can do is go up there, go 0-4 and just sit in the dugout the rest of the time. you know, and you can't contribute at all. Meanwhile, you have to watch Tristan Casas boot the baseball around the field because he's not good defensively. That's frustrating as hell. So to me, Devers is the most logical choice. They should be letting him take rounders and take some reps at first base, but I don't know. I don't know if they're just scared to death of the PR of it or what, but that would be my choice. Devers would be my number one choice, without a doubt.
The only thing that gives me pause is how nasty behind the scenes did it get between him, Cora, Breslow, and perhaps as high up as Kennedy or Henry. How nasty did it get? Because if it got really nasty, I think Alex Cora would be spiteful enough to say, no, you're staying at DH. That's what, and if that happens, and I don't know that that would ever leak out, but that's terrible on the part of Alex Cora to handcuff your team like that. So hopefully it's a non-issue.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all if that whole thing was way worse than they made it out to be. That, you know, oh no, everything's fine. Raffy's fine. There was never an issue. You know, media blew it up. I'm not so sure. So, and the Red Sox have been known to keep things like that hidden as much as possible until somebody leaves the organization and then spills the beans. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all if that was much worse than they told us.
See, I'm not saying this would have been the right thing or not. And in fact, it probably wouldn't have been. But if Devers wanted to be hard-headed, he can say, I'm a franchise player. I think he'd have to stop short of saying he's a generational talent because he hasn't gotten there yet. He hasn't really made a serious run at a MVP. But he can look at Alex Cora and say, who are you? You were a fringe MLB guy who couldn't even hold it down. You lost your spot to Dustin Pedroia in the best season of your career. And they still didn't, you know, they still didn't give it to you. I'm Rafael Devers. I'm making $311 million. I've got a bright future. And third base is mine, whether you like it or not. Now, if he took that approach, I don't think it would have been a good thing, like I said, but that's tough. That's tough. How does Alex Cora win that battle, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And he can also point out that apart from 2018 and that sort of weird 2021 season, we're basically a 500 team with you as manager. Like, if you take out those 2 years. So, you know, he could use that argument too. Like, yeah, you think you're the best, but, you know, Not really sometimes.
And Devers could also come back and say, I'm the guy that kept you guys relevant. So yep, I don't know. So I just hope Cora isn't spiteful. I hope he puts the team first. And if he has to appease Rafi Devers to put him back in the field, in the infield, hopefully he does it. Because, man, Casas is killing us right now.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll go to another name that we've come up with. This guy's actually starting to heat it up in AAA, in case anyone hasn't noticed yet. But we came up with Vaughn Grissom. So, Nick, how do you feel about Vaughn Grissom as a potential first base replacement?
I mean, he's hot at the moment. I think it'd be fine in a short-term platoon situation. I think you might have to ride with the hotter bat in Vaughn Grissom, but realistically, I think Casas still has a higher ceiling, higher offensive potential. I know he hasn't put out there and produced since 2023 or a very, very short sample size in 2024 where he missed most of the season. He had a couple good games, but I still think Casas is the better option over Vaughn Grissom over a 162-game season. But right now, in a short sample size, if you need to get a right-handed bat in that lineup, Vaughn Grissom, I think, would be a fine option over a struggling Casas. I haven't watched him down there defensively at first base. I know he hasn't played that very much at all, but it can't be really much worse than what Tristan Casas has been doing, booting the ball, you know, the transfer he's messing up, you know, trying to turn double plays or balls going through his legs for Chase Mydroff's first major league hit. Like, those are all balls that should be caught.
Terry.
I think it's viable to call him up and just see what he can give you. But isn't that sad that it's viable, that the bar's that low now? Like, that Casas is so bad that you might at least entertain a Vaughn Grissom type guy getting called up. Now, he's hitting 340 right now in AAA Worcester. He's hit a couple of home runs. The crazy thing, and it's not a good crazy, is in all but one game in April, he hasn't hit a single double. But for some reason, on April 15th, he hit three. So he hasn't been ripping the ball for, you know, extra bases. He's not known for athleticism. That was a big knock on him. He has to be faster than Tristan Casas, I would think, getting down the first baseline. And he's a righty. He gives you a little bit more balance on that side of the plate. And now, as I said in the last show, you've got Bregman, you've got Story exceeding expectations, and you've got Christian Campbell, who's been one of your better offensive producers this year. He just had a lengthy on-base streak, and I think it was at, what, 16, 17 games, something like that. But he was finally 0-for-5 in the second game of the Tampa series. But I would entertain Grissom. I don't think you can do any worse than Casas. So if it happens, it happens.
I would definitely entertain it. It'd be nice to get a little something out of the Chris Sale trade other than just this kid who's going to waste away over in Worcester. He's got the size for first base, 6'3", 210, so a little bit bigger than someone like Romy, who's been over there in spots. He's played two games at first base in Worcester as well, so at least he's kind of getting his feet wet down there. You're right about his athleticism. I wish he was more athletic, because then I'd be fully on board, but he's really just, he's still kind of lumbering a little bit. He can swipe a bag or two every now and then. He's definitely got more speed than Tristan Casas, because, you know, turtles have more speed than Tristan Casas, but he's still not a tremendous athlete. So in terms of defensively full-time at first base, I don't know how that would look. That might be more like the Hanley Ramirez experiment than we would like. But if the bat is starting to come around and it's starting to wake up a bit, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's intriguing, especially because he is a right-handed bat. And when he was doing really well in Atlanta, he had power. So, you know, you can never have too much right-handed power in your lineup. So Grissom intrigues me. And again, it's just the fact that he's right-handed and he can hit. The defense might be a little rocky, but it's rocky right now with Tristan Casas anyway. If, you know, and I think a guy like Grissom, who really wants to be back in the major leagues and really wants a spot, if he's told, like, hey, you know, we're getting fed up with Tristan over there, if you really hone your craft at first base, you can take his spot, like, because we believe in your bat and all this, I think a guy like Grissom, that would kind of fire him up, and he might take that and run with it. So he just seems like he has that attitude of, like, he's pissed that he's not in the major league roster and he wants to take somebody's spot. So I think that might be an intriguing move. Again, defensively might be rough, but, you know, I agree with Terry. It can't be much worse than what you're getting from Casas anyway in terms of athleticism.
And just a couple of things to consider. You're probably going to put together a trade package at some point in 2024 to 2025, rather, to get whatever piece you need. And maybe Grissom being a viable first baseman increases his value. Another upside to trying it, he doesn't have the best record of health, and not a lot of players get injured playing first base. You're not moving around a lot. You're just kind of scooping them from the rest of the infield. Occasionally a lefty will, you know, hit you with a high velocity line drive or whatever, but I don't see any risk whatsoever. It's a very low risk move, and it's probably got some upside. So I would entertain it.
And his age helps him a lot too. He's 24. So he's even, you know, a year and a half younger than Casas, I think. So his age helps him out too, because you have more time to develop him, you know, if you do want to make that move. So I like the upside. I agree. Yeah. So we'll move to another name on the list. This is a little more outside the box. We're going to, you know, starting to delve into the outside the box territory, but this is a guy who may also be losing his position at some point, because there's a certain prospect who is, we're hoping, is going to bang down the door at some point. So the next name on the list is Trevor Story. Nick, how do you feel about Trevor Story potentially going to first base?
I don't think it's an option, honestly. Not now, at least. I think it would just make the whole infield defense worse. I guess it would be contingent on Marcelo Meyer playing shortstop, but I don't think he's ready right now. He hasn't really been great lately in AAA. I think he needs some more at-bats down there. So I don't think this is an immediate option. I really don't think it's an option down the line. I just don't think it's something that will benefit the team. He's a shorter first baseman. I think he would be fine picking it. He's got good hands. He's always been good there. But I think it kind of wastes his speed. And I don't think he's that great of a hitter that he's going to match up well as a first baseman. I mean, if you want your first baseman to hit, but I know Casas isn't doing that either, but I just don't think Trevor Story down the line is going to be that great of a fit there.
Terry, how about you?
Well, like Nick said, I mean, it's not a this weekend against the White Sox type move. You know, eventually Meyer gets called up, and he will. He's only hitting about 200 right now with a 230 on base, not really doing a whole lot, but, you know, a couple hot weeks could really flip that narrative and maybe bump up the timetable a little bit. And then after that, what do you do with Trevor Story? Does he go to the same witness protection program that Masataka Yoshida is in, along with his $22 million a year? I don't know. I think they like his leadership. His bat so far has been pleasantly surprising. He's giving you something. So I could see them trying, you know, first base at some point, maybe in May, in the later half of May, just to put him somewhere. I mean, you could put Devers at first and then Story at DH if Meyer comes up. That's an option. But you could even do that with Grissom if you want and put Devers at first. So there's a lot of ways you can kind of manipulate a lot of these names we've mentioned, but I don't see Trevor Story being straight up DFA'd. And we all agreed on the last episode, there's just not a ton of trade value there. Even if he sustains this offensive clip for a couple more months, I can't imagine. At some point this weekend, I'll look at the middle infield for some teams to see if there possibly is a dance partner, you know, where you're eating probably at least 2/3 of his contract. But I don't know. I think anything's possible, really, at first base if Casas continues to flounder and give you nothing and cost you runs defensively.
So Trevor Story has the arm of a first baseman. He doesn't have a very strong arm, so that would be one reason to potentially move him over. He's made some nice plays early on this year, but, you know, a couple of those plays, you know, the ball is skipped in the dirt. The throw kind of barely gets there. Casas has to really reach for it. So I wonder if the arm is eventually going to become a problem for him, especially as the season goes on and as he plays more games, because he hasn't played a ton of games the last couple of years, really since he's gotten to Boston. So I am concerned about his arm strength over there. He's a bit small for first base, 6'1", 209. So he doesn't provide a big target for the other infielders. That's really the bulk of the problem. I think for now, you've got to sort of ride it out with Story, which is kind of scary to say because you don't know how that's going to end. That could end with him getting injured again, or it could end with him finishing the year hitting 210, leading the team in strikeouts, and being demoted to like number 8 spot in the lineup. You just don't know. I mean, we don't know a full season of Trevor Story away from Coors Field, what that's going to look like. And he's a lot like these Coors hitters. You take him away and all of a sudden the numbers go down. So it's been nice to see early on that he's starting to hit. He's driving the ball a little bit. You know, he still strikes out a ton, but that's never going to go away, I don't think. I'm concerned about the injury history and really just, I don't think first base would be a good transition for him. I don't think he'd be able to do it smoothly. And again, it's, you know, like Nick said, Meyer's not bashing down the door to get to the majors. You know, there's another prospect who is, so we'll talk about later, but Meyer has cooled off. He had a really good spring, and I think opened a lot of people's eyes, particularly mine. I'll own it. In the offseason, I would have rather traded, at the time, Marcelo Meyer than Kyle Teal in the Crochet deal. Looking back, who knows? We don't know what Kyle Teal is going to be. But Meyer had an awesome spring, had a pretty good start in AAA, and now has really cooled off. So he's got to really prove that he can hit consistently. He's also got to prove that he can stay healthy, because Meyer's had a couple of injuries here the last couple of years. Defensively, he's very smooth. That's not an issue, but he's got to show that he can really hit, because Story's contract alone will keep him at that shortstop position. And if he keeps producing like this, I see no reason to mess with him and change his position. So I think Story's pretty unlikely to happen.
It just feels like Trevor Story might be the first infielder in MLB history to need a cutoff man going to first.
I would be curious. I don't think we've seen one yet, but I'd be curious to see him try to make a play to his right, you know, throwing from more of the third base side of the diamond. And, you know, just how many skips does it take to get to first base? Because, yeah, his arm strength is not good at all.
It's so bad.
And it's partially why when he played second base for a little bit, when he first got here, he was good, because you don't need a big arm over there. But, yeah. Not a shortstop arm, but a first baseman's arm, so he's got that in common. But yeah, I don't think that's likely to happen. So we'll move to the fourth name on our list. This is a name we talked about a lot in the offseason and could still potentially be an option, and that's Nolan Arenado, still over there in St. Louis. It was oddly gotten off to a pretty good start, but I think we all know how that's going to end. He himself has gotten off to a red-hot start. So, Nick, how would you feel about trading for Nolan Arenado and making him the first baseman?
I wouldn't hate it. It's kind of crazy to think about. That's kind of the guy we thought we were going to get all offseason. We didn't know if he would be a third baseman or first baseman. I think if we got him instead of Bregman, he would have still been the third baseman. But I think it would be fine to stick him at first base right now if we brought him in. It probably would be a deadline deal, because the Cardinals are actually still in it, and that division is very wide opened. So, you know, maybe the Cardinals will run it with him and see if they can try to win that division or catch a wild card. I doubt it. But if he's in play in July and the Reds and Tristan Casas is batting .215 or whatever it is, and he's got 6 home runs and 18 RBIs, you know, I'd be totally fine with going to make a deal for a first baseman, whether it's Nolan Arenado or someone else. So, yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't think it's a immediate option.
Terry.
I mean, Nolan Arenado's been one of my favorite players for non-Red Sox players for quite a while. And, you know, Bregman has the higher ceiling, and I'm glad it worked out. I mean, I did look at Arenado as the value guy. I don't know if you can get him potentially cheaper now. I think the Red Sox and the Cardinals were going back and forth on the money a lot, and we weren't willing to take on as much as the Cardinals wanted. But the reason I would like this move a lot is it's sort of an insurance policy if Trevor Story opts out. If he opts out, well, at least you got Nolan Arenado for 2 more years. He's hitting .211 right now. 311 rather.
And you mean Alex Bregman, right? If Bregman opts out.
I did mean that. What did I say?
Story.
That wasn't even
I was like, Arenado playing short? I don't know if we can get that crazy.
I mean, I'm not drunk. It was only 16 ounces. But
technically, Story could opt out. But
he can. I promise you, Story was not anywhere near my brain. He was near my mouth, apparently. But so if Bregman opts out, so you've got Arenado for a couple more years. He's hitting 311 right now, like I said. Only a couple of home runs. He's knocked in 9. Those aren't that impressive, but he's like third or fourth in the National League in doubles. He's hit 6 of them. So I don't think the metrics are that bad. I haven't really dived into a lot of them. I don't know what his barrel rate is, for instance. I don't know what his exit velocity is, what percentiles. But regardless of that, everybody was saying he was washed all winter. I never believed that. I thought he was a great bounce back candidate. And I think that solves so many problems. I mean, this Red Sox team has an identity crisis right now. We don't know who the leader is. You'd think it was Bregman, but he's here on the short term. Lots of drama there. Trevor Story has been around for a while, not so much on the field, but he's been in the dugout. He's been present. He's been a voice. And I think if you get Arenado in there, he's just another big voice. And I just think his presence will make everyone around him better. And you don't really need a leader. You just got so many respected veterans in that clubhouse at that point. I think everything would gel. He's would be great hitting from the right side of the plate. I think it would be a slam dunk move to go get him if the stars aligned. And maybe everybody laughed at me all winter. I got destroyed when I put Tristan Casas in that deal, but I think the Red Sox would do it. You get him out of here, you get Arenado in, you got to make the money work somehow, but I see nothing but upside if you bring him in. And right now there's nothing. There's no rumors. There's nothing. There's no momentum behind this. We're just simply spitballing here, but I think that would be a hell of an option.
Yeah, I'd be into it. I did just pull up his baseball savant page. It's a lot of blue. A little concerning. Yeah, 11th percentile in exit velocity, 28th percentile in barrel. So his numbers on paper look good. The savant page doesn't. I'm not sure. With a guy like Arenado who's been around for so long, like, he might just not need to barrel every single goddamn pitch. Like, I don't know. I think he's still a good professional hitter. I think he'd be fine playing first base. I mean, talk about a guy who needs a change of scenery. He was on those, you know, pretty bad Colorado teams for a lot of his career. You know, gets traded to St. Louis. St. Louis doesn't do anything. You know, this is a guy who wants to win. And you bring him here on this roster, like, this is his best chance to win. And I think Fenway would be a good ballpark for him to hit in. I don't think a trade would cost you too much. Again, it depends on how good he's playing at the deadline and how desperate you are. But I still don't think, given his contract and everything, I don't think you're giving up a ton to get him. So it's, yeah, Nick said it right. It's not an immediate thing. You're not going to make the trade now in April, but come July 30th, if Tristan Casas is still slumping or is, you know, God forbid, on the IL again, and St. Louis has dropped out of the race, Arenado's available, I wouldn't hate it. I would not hate it at all. And even if his baseball savant page is still all blue at that point, I don't care. If he's still hitting at a pretty decent clip and you bring him here, change his scenery, you know, a chance to win, I think that'll put a jolt into him. So I don't hate the idea at all. I've always loved Nolan Arenado. And I would take him in a deadline deal for sure. So we will get to the last name on our list. This one, we think is pretty unrealistic, pretty, you know, less likely to happen than anything else, but he's kind of tearing it up right now down in Worcester. And he, unlike Marcelo Meyer, he might be bashing down the door to get to the big leagues. And that is the number one prospect, Roman Anthony. So Nick, take it away. How do you feel about Roman Anthony potentially replacing Casas at first base?
I think it's a long shot. I think it's a long shot just because he's never done it before. Also, I don't think he wants to play first base for his financial future. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I think he's athletic enough that he can learn first base in 2 weeks. I think he will hit in the major leagues. He has nothing left to learn in AAA. I think he'll be in the lineup within the next month, whether it's at first base or otherwise. I think That's why this Devers to first base thing makes so much sense, because it would open up a DH spot, whether that would be for Roman Anthony or, you know, just ways to get Roman Anthony, Willie Abreu, kind of flip-flopped into the the outfield and into the DH spot and get your best players in the lineup. I just think that's the kind of way to get him in the lineup. I don't think first base is a real option, though. But I do think he is going to be in the lineup sooner rather than later.
Terry, how about you?
He's the number one prospect in all Major League Baseball. He didn't sign an extension. I mean, he sees dollar signs in his future. And I don't think his agent wants any part of him playing a position that is undervalued financially. You know, this is kind of off topic, but with the Blue Jays and Vladimir, if I'm the Blue Jays, I would almost just let it ride with him and just look at what happened with Pete Alonso and say, you know what? We're interested in you, but we'll actually wait. You know, we'll wait till this winter. We'll see what your market really is and perhaps still sign you. That's the way I would have played it with the Blue Jays. If Vladimir was an outfielder, I absolutely would have got it done as fast as I could under any circumstances. I would have done that. But given the nature of the first base thing, I would have waited. So now with Anthony, I think he only sees that as something that would hurt his value. So he didn't sign an extension. So, you know, he seems to have a patient mindset of just letting things play out as they should. And adding him in is intriguing. I mean, I would do it if he was willing. Obviously, I would put him there. But I just don't think he's willing to be. And I know Tony Maserati got all this kicked off. I mean, it wasn't a thought in anyone's mind prior to Maz doing this. So we'll see what it is. I've got one more, but what are your thoughts, Jason?
Yeah, I don't see it as realistic. I don't think you take the number one prospect in baseball and mess with his position like that. I don't think he would want to do it. You know, like you said, his agent would be pissed about it. You know, he's going to be in the big league lineup pretty soon, the way he's hitting. But, you know, I'd rather at this point just bench Rafaela, you know, to get him in the lineup or something like that. I mean, trying to force him onto first base, it just, I don't see it. He hasn't played a single game there in AAA. He's been all throughout the outfield. So keep him there. It's where he's best. It's where he's comfortable. Don't mess with it. He'll be in the lineup soon enough. There's no reason to rush it by putting him at first base.
One more option here. It would involve definitely putting Devers at first base. But if you want to go the cheap route, you don't want to go Arenado. You don't want to call up Vaughn Grissom. JD Martinez is up there and supposedly he's in shape. He's ready. I mean, it would be easy to be skeptical on whether how quickly he would be major league ready. He would probably have to be in the minors for a certain amount of time to get his timing back and all that. But you could bring him back for a cheap amount of money, probably an incentive-based deal. He can DH for you. It might be worth a shot. I don't know.
I don't know if I'm into that idea. I was kind of ready for the JD Martinez era to be over when it ended. He was okay last year, but the strikeouts have gone up. His bat speed's gone way, way down. He only hit 16 homers last year, I think, or something like that. So the power is starting to get sapped from him as well. I don't think that he could give you anything more than the guys we already mentioned. I think, and then, you know, if you bring him in and he's not playing well, like, you know, you're going to DFA him again. Like it kind of creates a whole mess. So I think I'm out on the JD Martinez idea.
I kind of feel the same way. I just feel like, if you're going to move Devers to first base, it's Roman Anthony's position to lose. I mean, I think you got to give him the first opportunity over you go sign a guy who 29 other teams passed on, probably for a reason. I know he's a professional hitter. He's probably, what, 38, 39 years old now. He probably could still run and do a home run every now and then, but I'd just rather go give it to a guy like Roman Anthony, or you got Masataka Yoshida already employed. Like, you might as well see what he's got left.
That's fair enough. And I would take Yoshida at DH if Devers was a first baseman, but Martinez will be 38 in August.
Yeah. Again, he was really good while he was here. I just feel like his best days are way, way behind him. You know, if people think Arenado is cooked, like, JD Martinez is beyond cooked, I think. So
he's well done.
Yeah, he's well done. Exactly. So with that, we will wrap up this episode. Again, we'll see what happens with the first base position going forward. We'll see if Casas picks it up or they decide to make a move. Who knows? But we'll be there every step of the way. Everyone enjoy Marathon Weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.